Don't you think time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father? Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
Thanks, Velma. Well, if you see in your bulletin, we're talking about symbols today. And we are going along again. We're looking at kind of what makes us a Mennonite church, what makes us Mennonite, and we're looking through the confession of faith in a Mennonite perspective. And so we haven't been going in order. And one of the reasons we haven't been going in order is because things like today, which is World Communion Sunday, we want to look at some of the things. What do we believe about communion in the Lord's Supper, even though that's not necessarily in the sequential order that they are in the Confession of Faith. But we want to kind of talk today about communion, because that makes sense. But this morning, we're talking about a number of different symbols, because there's a number of different of articles in that Confession of Faith that come right next to each other that all have to do with what we're doing this morning. And those symbols are baptism, the Lord's Supper, and foot washing. And so we want to cover all three of those this morning to come to a little bit of an understanding of why are we here? What are we doing? What are these symbols that we're practicing this morning? And it's important to understand. And if you take a step back and just think about symbols as a whole, not necessarily specific symbols that we're practicing this morning, but symbols as a whole, they define our lives. They're a part of everything we do, just about everywhere we go, every interaction we have. No, we can't avoid symbolism. It's part of what it is to be human. If you're driving down the road, you're inundated with symbols. You'll see a red octagonal sign, and you'll know what that means. It wouldn't even have to say stop on it. You would just see red, and you know that means stop, because that symbol has been embedded into your brain. If you're at a stoplight and you see green, you'll know that that means go, because that color has been embedded into your brain as a symbol for moving forward, and the same with red for stopping. And the musicians this morning, what Phil was looking at the piano was just a whole bunch of different symbols, and if someone who hasn't taken music lessons would look at that, it would look like gibberish. But you understand, Phil understands the symbols, I understand what they mean, I just can't make my fingers move the same way. We're just inundated with symbols. If you have a cell phone, your home screen is just a whole bunch of different symbols. You know, if there's one that's a blue box with a white F in it, you probably know what that means. Whereas 15 years ago, someone would look at a blue box with a white F in it and like, what's that? It doesn't mean anything. But for now, we know the meaning of that symbol. And if you want to take it even, you know, a little bit deeper, all communication is symbolism. Every word that we have is a symbol of a deeper meaning. So just for example, if I would say the word chair, you know, you think of this. The word chair is just a symbol for what comes into your mind of this. So all of our communication is based on symbols. Words are symbols of an object that brings up that object into your mind. And so we're surrounded by symbolism in all aspects of our lives. Everything we do, everything we communicate, everywhere we go, everything we pull up on a computer, on our phones, everything is symbolic. And so it's no different within the church. There's a lot of symbols. And also in life, there's these kind of these major symbols, these things that are not just like a stop sign, but kind of a very symbolic time, a ceremoniously thing. So a lot of times, like turning 18 is a very symbolic time because in our culture, that's kind of the time when you move from childhood to adulthood. So that's a very symbolic time. Or graduation from college, or graduation from high school. Those are very symbolic ceremonies with all the different, you know, things that you wear and the diploma and all the, you know, diploma doesn't really mean anything. It's a symbol of the work that you've put in. Or one of the biggest symbols in our society is a wedding ceremony. You know, it's a very big day that gets celebrated, but a wedding is not a marriage. A wedding is one day, but it's symbolic of what's to come. So we are familiar with symbols. If you're human, you're familiar with symbols. And religions all over the world are full of symbols, and Christianity is no different. And a lot of times it's the symbolism, all the different symbols within especially Christian religion, that will sometimes turn people off because they don't understand them. You know, someone would come through the door of Crown Hill or any church or any denomination, they'd be surrounded with different symbols. There's a cross and there's different terms they don't understand, and a lot of times that can be a barrier for not understanding. So religious symbols kind of can become also a roadblock for people. But I want to talk a little bit before we actually get into looking at what the symbols of baptism, communion, and foot washing mean. I want to take a little bit of time and pause here and say that, we're familiar with symbols. We know what symbols are. We see them every day. They're part of our lives. But looking specifically at religious symbols, there's an inherent danger in religious symbols that I think that we need to just be aware of. The danger in religious symbols. And the danger is that they're easy to abuse. That a symbol is something that has a deeper meaning. It's something that points to something else. A stop sign that's red, in and of itself, it doesn't mean anything. It means something because you've learned the meaning of a stop sign, and it tells you to stop. Whereas in a religious ceremony, religious symbols, you know, baptism or communion or foot washing, it doesn't mean anything if you don't know what it is. And so it's easy to abuse a religious symbol. So that's, we're going to talk about the abuse. And there's also another danger, and that it's easy to actually worship the symbol and not the meaning of the symbol. It's easy to confuse the symbol. I'm a little hot this morning. It's easy to confuse the symbol with actually what the symbol should be pointing to. And I'll use, this is not necessarily always a religious happening, but weddings can easily be this. So you just think of a wedding ceremony. You know, people pour in thousands and thousands of dollars into a wedding ceremony, and they got to be pull out all the stuff, the food and the decorations and the clothing and the location and all these things, and put so much money into it. And that's not inherently a bad thing, but what's more important, the wedding day or the actual marriage? The 45 to, you know, 50 minute ceremony where there's a person up here speaking, and you go through all these symbols of a wedding with a ring and with maybe the exchanging of vows, all these very important symbols. But we can worship that day and invest all that money and time and energy into that day, and all of a sudden there's a marriage afterwards that you got to live out. And we can see that in our society, we tend to worship that day of the wedding, and we don't invest a whole lot into the marriage, and you can see the results of that in our society. So that's one way you can see there's a symbol that's supposed to point to something else, but if we worship the symbol itself, we miss the meaning of the symbol. Now I want to talk about three ways that I think religious symbols, Christian symbols, are abused. Three different ways that we miss the meaning and we abuse the system and we go through the motions, and that it can be a caution for all of us. And I would say there's three different ways, and they kind of grow in danger. So the first one would be not quite as big of an issue, and the last one is a very significant issue. So the first one would be you abuse the symbols within church with a lack of understanding. And I would say, I mean, this is most commonly would be for youth. You know, for a young person, you know, however elementary school age, whatever age you want to say, for them to be able to grasp the symbol of what it means to be baptized, to grasp the symbol of what it means to take communion, and to grasp the symbol of foot washing, to grasp all these symbols that we have, you know, that's not a realistic expectation. And so, you know, I would say, like, for a young person, that's, you know, not a real major issue if they don't grasp all the major, you know, nuances of the symbols we're talking about. I'd say it's a bigger issue is when it's really not a result of youth, but there's a lack of understanding because of a lack of teaching. If people haven't been taught what these symbols mean, if people haven't come to an understanding, if there haven't been Sunday school teachers, if there haven't been pastors, if there haven't been mentors, if there haven't been these people to invest into lives and say, this is what this means to go through this ceremony. So the first way to abuse these symbols is just to not understand, to have a lack of understanding. The second way is a lack of effort, where this is not youth, where this is adulthood, where people have had the opportunity to learn, maybe have been taught, they have had Sunday school teachers, they have had pastors or school teachers that have taught them the meaning of these symbols, but for one reason or another just choose not to really regard them, to not see them as real important, to not see them as a major aspect of life, and just kind of, it's easier to not just to go through the motion of these symbols and not really let the idea, the symbolism and the meaning behind them get into our heart. And that's just a lack of effort. That's not because you haven't been taught. That's not because you don't have the opportunity to learn. It's just because to learn it and to apply it and allow it to change your life is a lot harder than just to go through the motions and not allow it to change your life. And so that's another way that we abuse the symbols, is we just have a lack of effort. We just don't care. It's apathy. You know, I'll go through the motion. It's Communion Sunday. We'll do communion. I've done it before. Let's go through the motions. And that's an abuse of the symbol of what it's supposed to mean. And the last one, which I think is the most significant, is a lack of sincerity, where you know what it means and you put on a front like you're sincere. You know what it means, and you put on a front like you know what you're doing, or maybe you're even the teacher, maybe you're even the preacher, or the Sunday school teacher that's taught these things before, and you put on a front, and you act like it has a real significant meaning. And this is the type of behavior that got Jesus the most upset. Whenever you see Jesus get really angry in the New Testament is when he's dealing with this type of abuse of symbolism, with this type of abuse of meaning. When there are people who are religious leaders, who acted like they had it all together, who acted like they were holier than thou, who acted like they knew the meaning of the symbols, and they did know the meaning of the symbols, but they intentionally chose to abuse them and look righteous and look holy just for the sake of appearances. And I'll just read a couple of verses here. This is what Jesus has to say about this type of behavior. Matthew 25, verses, I'll start at 25. Matthew 25:25, he says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of a cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and you Pharisees, you hypocrites! You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead man's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." So this is the most egregious abuse of symbols, where you make sure your outside is clean and polished, but inside you're dead and full of bones. And Jesus had no tolerance for this. This is something that just aggravated him. So we can see that these three ways, just ignorance, lack of knowledge, lack of effort, and lack of sincerity, are ways that we can abuse these symbols. Now, before, I don't want to just come down all heavy, we need to remember that the Holy Spirit is active among all of us. And so if, you know, I think all of us have an inclination towards these things. And so if you're feeling a little conviction, that's great. Allow the Holy Spirit to move in you. Allow that conviction to happen. That's what the Holy Spirit is here for. And if you just think, oh, wow, I don't want to abuse this symbol. I want to know the meaning of it. And so just remember that God's grace is sufficient for you. regardless of where you are, of maybe I didn't understand before and I abused that symbol. It's okay. Or maybe you say, you just need to acknowledge that, you know, I went through the motions before and it didn't mean anything for me. And you know, you need to repent of that. I don't want to just say that's okay, but remember, God's grace is sufficient. And if you are that person that has abused the system, that has been clean on the outside but unclean on the inside, it's never too late. God's grace is sufficient. It's okay to, it's not okay, but know that you can repent and be forgiven for that. God's grace is sufficient for all these sins, no matter how bad it is. So just keep that in mind. Okay? It's not, we don't want to end with a guilt trip. We just need to understand what we're going through. So with all that said, let's jump into these symbols and look at the symbols a little bit. So the symbols that we want to look at this morning are baptism, the Lord's Supper, which is also, Lord's Supper and communion are basically synonyms that can be used interchangeably, and foot washing. So what does baptism symbolize? Baptism symbolizes, in its most simplest form, is be a cleansing, a washing away of sins. It's when you just kind of like we talked about, when you're convicted of sin, you confess and you repent and you say, Lord, I want to be made clean. Kind of like we talked about the hymns and the songs and so, you know, washed in the blood. You want to be washed. You want to be clean. You want to be made white as snow. And baptism is kind of the symbol of entry, kind of that first time that happens, when you have that conviction, when the Holy Spirit is working on you, you say, yes, Lord, I want to be cleaned. I want to be baptized. I want to be washed, and I want to be made new. I want to start a new life in Christ. And baptism is the symbol of that. So it's kind of the entry symbol. Now, we all kind of do that on a reoccurring basis. It's not just a one-time thing. I repented of sin once back in, 1972, and I'm good. You know, it's an ongoing thing. But baptism is a symbol of entrance, where you enter God's family, where you enter the community and say, this is who I want to be. I want to be washed. I want to be forgiven. And also, within our community, within our Mennonite denomination, baptism is also a symbol of entrance in that community, into membership. So when you're baptized, you become a member of a community. And so as we talked about earlier, it's important that this is a decision made by adults. So only because adults can understand the meaning of the symbol. Adults understand what it means to say, you know, I've been convicted. I know I'm a sinner. And I know I need saved. And I know that Jesus is the one that can do this. And I want to be a part of a community that's going to hold me accountable and walk with me. And so that's what baptism is, that symbol of entrance, that symbol of being a part of that community, a symbol of saying, yes, I need a Savior, and I want Jesus to save me, to wash me, to cleanse me, and to give me a new life. So baptism is that symbol of entrance, a beginning. Then we move on to the symbol of communion, the Lord's Supper. And this is very similar to baptism, but it's kind of the ongoing renewal, the symbol of renewal, where you renew your baptismal vows, where you say, this is the baptism was the time I entered, and when I first kind of went through this process, and this is a renewal of the covenant, saying I still need this. What I needed when I got baptized is what I baptized is what I need now. When I was convicted of my sin then, I am still convicted of my sin now. And I want to renew my covenant with God. I want to renew my covenant with my fellow believers and say that this is still what I need. This is still who I am, and this is still important to me. So communion is that renewal symbolism. And that we use in the symbols of this are the blood, which would be wine in the Bible, or grape juice, what we use, or bread. And so the bread symbolizes the body of Christ. Now, this is all based off the Last Supper when Jesus and his disciples were gathered around, and he said, take this and eat. This is my body broken for you. And it points to what Jesus did on the cross. It's a remembering. We remember what Jesus did on the cross. We remember that he was broken for our behalf. We remember that we can't forgive our own sins, that we need someone to do that for us. And the wine is the same thing, a symbol of his blood that was shed for us. That on the cross, he was pierced and he shed the blood on our behalf. And when we gather together to eat, we remember what Christ went through. We remember the meaning of his brokenness. We remember the meaning of his blood shed for us. And we remember what he says, I start a new covenant with you, a covenant of grace. And that's one of the most important things we can remember, is that we're no longer following the law, but we're following grace. That grace has come, that we have forgiveness of sins, that we don't have to follow this law anymore. So we renew our baptismal vows. We renew our covenant with God. and we remember what Christ has done for us. Now, lastly, foot washing. Now, this one may seem less significant, but it is a pretty important symbol. It's probably not as common within the Christian world. But let's look a little bit. Velm read this morning the story of Jesus when he washed his disciples' feet. So what does this mean? What is the point of this one? And I think one way to look at it is it's important. It shows the importance of service to others, that we need to be serving other people. And that's true. But I think there's a bigger thing at work here, that Jesus is showing us that this is how Christians should approach the world. This is how Christians use power. This is how Christians use authority and view authority. Because we live in a world, Jesus lived in a world, it's been the same ever since the fall, that we are fallen human beings, that we try to use power over people. Okay, we're in a time of, you look into politics, it's all about who has the power, who has the ability, who can wield power over people. You look at the global scene, it's all about who has power, who has the strongest military, who can defeat who has the strongest economy, who has this. It's all about power over other individuals and how you can influence other people and how you can wield your power. And Jesus comes on the scene, the most powerful individual, because he is God, that has ever walked the face of the earth, and he says, this is how I want you guys to use the power. This is how I want you guys to view power. I want you to wash each other's feet. I want you to voluntarily die. We have one person who had the power to take control of the whole world, and instead he chose to be tortured and die on a cross. We have one person who had the power to influence people, to change people's minds, and to be the ultimate political figure, and he said no, because he said that was a temptation to sin. And he said, I'm going to choose the way of the cross, and I'm going to wash people's feet instead of demanding people to wash my feet, even though he had that authority. That's why we as Christians, we choose the way of the cross. We choose the way of foot washing as a symbol that we are servants of all. That our Master, our Lord, our Savior that we talked about, that name that is above all names, the one who had the power above all powers, chose to lower himself. And why do we as humans that don't have that power, that don't have the names that are above all names, that don't have this strength, try to wield it? We strive for political power. We strive for influence over people. We strive for positions of leadership and power so we can be an authority. And Jesus says, no, why are you doing that? Wash each other's feet. Humble yourselves. Lower yourselves. This is what he says in Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 to 28. Jesus called them together. This is his disciples, because his disciples before this were bickering about who's the most important. He said, Jesus, who's the most important of us? Will it be me? Will it be me, my brother? And he called them together and he says, you know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must become a servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, let me just tell you, this doesn't work. Okay, our paradigm in life about functionality, this does not apply to. If we say, that's not going to work. I won't get my promotion. People are going to walk all over me. People are going to take advantage of me, people are going to abuse me. That's not going to work in life. I won't be able to achieve what I need to achieve. I won't get to where I need to go. And we need to set that paradigm of functionality aside. Because our view of working is to get to the top and to have the power, to have the authority, and to have the influence. And Jesus' definition of working and success was to die. And we need to just flip everything on its head. And so that's why we wash each other's feet, because we worship a Savior that chose to die on a cross. And there can't be that disconnect between our actions and the actions of our Savior. We can't act like this, but yet worship someone who washed feet and chose to die. And that's why we go through this symbol, is to get this in our heads. Because I don't know about you, but I need this reminder. Because I know my status quo, my way of operating is not Christ-like unless it is intentional, unless the Holy Spirit is at work in me. Because my normal status quo behavior is a behavior of this world where I want the power, I want control, I'm a control freak, I want to be in control, I want to do all these things. But Jesus says, relinquish that. You are to be a servant of everyone. You need to let that go, and you need to touch someone else's nasty, stinky, slimy feet, and you need to wash them. And even though you don't like touching feet, and you don't like other people touching your feet, you need to know, you need to understand the meaning of this symbol, that it means that this is how Christians operate in this world, by lowering themselves, by being people of a cross, not people of power. I don't really want to touch other people's feet, but I think I need that reminder. Now, as we move into a time of practicing these symbols, I know that we have various different levels of baggage coming into these. Okay, we have different levels of knowledge. We have different levels of, you know, maybe you know, we didn't understand in the past. It's okay. And as you go through kind of the mental of, do I want to practice these symbols? Is this something I want to do? This is a choice you need to make, okay? The rest of this morning is your decision. There's no right or wrong. We're not going to pressure you into doing the symbol or not doing the symbol. But just make this, just think about some of these things. One, the most important thing, is Jesus did tell us to do these things, okay? So we worship Jesus. We follow Jesus. Remember, we talked about that. He is our ultimate authority. And Jesus said, I want you to do these things. Okay, he said, go forth and baptize, make disciples, baptizing people. He said baptism is important. Communion. You know, Jesus said, when you do this in remembrance of me. He wanted you to do this. He wanted you to participate in this symbol. And when he said about foot washing, just as Velm read this morning, he said, now that I, your teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set an example for you, so you should do as I have done for you. So Jesus did tell us to do these things, and that's important. And also another thing to keep in mind, and this is something, again, that I need reminded of, and so if I need reminded of it, I assume that you guys do too. It's not all about me. And it's not all about you. Okay, we start to think that, do I want to participate in this? Is this good for me to participate in? Is it something I want to do? But think about other people. You know, we talked about last week in what the church is. The church is people holding on to Jesus and people holding on to each other. So whether you participate in the symbol or not is going to have effects on other people. Maybe there's someone in this room that needs this to be reminded to wash other people's feet. And if you don't allow people to wash your feet, then people can't participate in that symbol. So remember, this is all, not all just about you, but it's about your participation in the community. So again, like I said, this is your choice as to how to participate. We don't have any rules. We're in a new covenant of grace. And how you decide to participate and what level is completely up to you. Now, let me try to explain what happens next as clearly as possible, because I understand, I know that this is different than what we've done before. So we're doing during our, quote, Sunday school time is our communion. You've noticed that there's no little pieces of squares of bread and no cups up front. So what we're going to do is we're going to practice communion in our Sunday school time. And so the Sunday school teachers should all have, you know, a little piece of paper. And what Jesus said is, when you eat together, do this in remembrance of me. And so the idea is that as we eat together, that is our communion. Okay, there's not going to be a ceremoniously passing around the cup or passing around the bread within the Sunday school classes. You're going to be together and you're going to eat together. And the idea is, while you're eating together, you can reflect together what it means to remember Jesus. How do you remember Jesus when you're together? How do we remember what God has done with us, for us? How do we remember that amongst the community? And so that's the goal. And we're doing this in Sunday school classes, because hopefully you can share a little bit more openly amongst Sunday school classes than amongst people you don't really know. If you don't have a Sunday school class, again, you're welcome to jump into one, and you can participate in whatever level you're comfortable participating in. Okay, we're not putting pressure on anyone, so there'll be a number of different classes. I'm going to encourage the high schoolers to choose one of the adult Sunday school classes to participate in. Now, I want the high schoolers. I want you to go high school and middle school, the class that I teach. I want you to go participate in that. And if you want to speak, that's fine. But if you want to just sit and listen, because this is a great opportunity for the high schoolers to learn of the faith of the people that are going before them. So just, again, remember, it's not all about you. What you share affects other people, and what you don't share also affects other people. So we're inviting the high schoolers and the middle schoolers to pick a Sunday school class and be a part of that in the adult setting. For the children, parents, I'll let you decide if you want the children to be with you, the ones that are younger than middle school, younger than high school. We'll go with that. So that's what's going to happen for lunch. Now, before lunch, before our, quote, lunch Sunday school communion time, we're going to have foot washing. And what we're going to have is the women are going to be in the sanctuary, and the men are going to use the library. So after after we sing our closing song here, we're going to dismiss, and the women that want to participate in foot washing will stay in here, and the men that want to participate in foot washing will go to the library. Now, not the library can't hold all the men at the same time, so we'll kind of have to cycle through. And I should just say here, I know this is different, and I want to thank all you guys for being flexible, especially the folks that have kind of stepped up to the plate and helped. Because, you know, when we first had this idea of like, oh, it's cool, let's try communion as an actual meal with Sunday school classes. So we run with it, and all of a sudden there's all these little details that need to be taken care of, and I'm not really good at that. So thank you guys that have helped with the details, especially for the Sunday school teachers for being flexible and all that. And I would just want to say, as a word, let's try to do this. Let's relax. I know a lot of us might be feeling like, well, this is, where do I go? What should I do? Do I need to set something up, or I need to do this? What's my responsibility here? The rest of this morning, you know, we have time, so we don't need to hurry, we don't need to hustle. You don't need to run around frantically thinking, do I have a responsibility to set something up? Let's just relax. And enjoy this time we have together. That we want. Let's focus less on ourselves. Let's focus on Christ. Let's focus on each other. And let's see, can we go through, even though this is different, even though this is not as organized as it should be, can we go through this as a time that we can remember Christ, that we can celebrate His sacrifice for us, that we can follow His model by washing each other's feet. So I know this is different, and I know that it might be a little confusing, but this is, you know, we got time. We can walk our way through it. We don't have to finish in a certain time, so there's no pressure to get something done right away. So just to review, the women, if you want to participate in foot washing, that'll be here in the sanctuary. The men, if you want to participate in foot washing, will be in the library. And then after the foot washing, there's no set time, so we'll take as much time as we want. And if you're not washing feet, you can hang out in the lobby there and be respectful of the people that are washing feet. And then we'll go to different Sunday school classes. Myron, I think your class is going to start setting up in the lobby, right? So we're gonna take the dividers out and kind of spill out into the lobby to give us a little bit more room. So we're gonna go with the flow, and hopefully that through all this, we can have a little bit richer experience of what the symbol of communion and the symbol of foot washing means. Now, did I miss anything really important there before we go? Yeah, Myrna. I would say go. So I'd do foot washing first, if you want to, and then once the food is set up, well, I'd say get the Sunday school classes set up. So I know Myron's class needs to set up some out here, and then I would go through, get your food, and then come to your class. And I would say, you know, you can you know, start. You don't have to. You can eat when you get your food, I would say, you know, so you don't have to kind of all sit and wait until everyone's done. And then Sunday school teachers, it's on your kind of your judgment as to kind of when everyone is there and when you can kind of start that reflection time of remembering Jesus through the meal. Thanks, Myrna. Any other? All right, well, let's pray about all this. Dear God, we thank you for the richness of meaning that you've given us in your word. Lord, we're celebrating symbols this morning, but we're more importantly celebrating the meaning of these symbols, and that is what you've done for us, Lord. All these things that we do in the next half hour, however long it takes, Lord, this is all to celebrate what you've done in our lives. Lord, we want to be more Christ-like. We want to be more like you and wash each other's feet. Lord, we want to remember what you've done for us. We want to remember your sacrifice. We want to remember your new covenant. We want to remember your love. Lord, we want to remember the commitments we've made to each other and to you. And so, Lord, I just pray that through the work of your Holy Spirit, all these details would work out and that true meaning can happen, that we wouldn't be getting lost in the chaos. We wouldn't be walking through the motions, but we can have a genuine remembrance of who you are and what you've done for us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.